Welcome back to Path to Glory, the Warhammer Underworlds podcast that focuses on competitive gaming, player development, and community growth. This is Aman Kusro, and I'm joined by my newly minted co-host, Jason Murray.
I am happy to be here, and that sounds crazy and awesome all at the same time.
It's kind of weird saying it, but right. I didn't even practice, so... Oof. Okay. Well, in today's episode, we will be covering the universal cards that came with Black Powder's Buccaneers. So shouldn't be too long of an episode, but we'll be going to 30 cards, talking about them, good, bad, and what we like, maybe what we dislike. But before we do that, I'm going to give a quick shout out to our patrons. This episode was made possible by you. So thanks to everyone who supports us. If you are interested in supporting the podcast monetarily, please check us out at patreon.com/pathtoglory. If that's not possible, we still appreciate the listens and the ratings. Jason, I talked to you yesterday, but what's changed since then?
Just same old working, doing things, and, glad to be back-to-back days and get all this new stuff knocked out.
Yes, new stuff knocked out. A lot of new stuff to talk about, I guess. So, before we get into that review, though, I do want to continue our brand new segment called Sleeve It or Heave It. So, I feel like we had a good conversation surrounding the last card. So, today, we're going to talk about Dying Curse.
Dying Curse. Is it dying to be heaved or dying to be kept?
Well, it depends. We'll find out. For those of you who are unfamiliar, Dying Curse is an upgrade reaction. During an enemy fighter's attack action, after the deal damage step, if that attack action dealt enough damage to this fighter to take them out of action, discard this card. -2 wounds to the attacker to a maximum of 1. This effect persists in the same way as a persistent gambit until the attacker is taken out of action.
That's an interesting one. There's a lot there. -2 wounds to a minimum of 1. But it's an upgrade, so it's telegraphed that it's there.
Yeah.
But that might be the power of the card, because maybe they just don't want to attack you. I think I kind of like it. I don't know if it works in every deck.
Mm-hmm.
But for some, that would be... like, put this in my Nurgle deck.
Oh, God. Yeah, I mean, it's so I do think the stock of this card is significantly better in, like, smaller warbands, where, like, every loss hurts you more. It's interesting because, like, I don't know if I would take this in a Hrothgorn deck or even, like, a Black Powder deck. I don't know. Maybe. I don't think I would, though. But it's interesting because... A, you're right, it's telegraphed because you have to place it and equip it. It almost has like that, it's like a deterrent, right? Like whenever you had, what's the card where it's like, if you kill me, I get the glory?
Omega's Offering.
Is that it? Oh, yeah, okay.
Well, that's the current one. Is.
Yeah, there was an older one back in the day. So many cards. But yeah, so it's cool. I feel like if your opponent really wants your fighter to die, they're going to do it anyways and take the curse if it means you winning the game. But like if I'm maybe playing like, I don't know, Starblood Stalkers or Gits or whatever, and like I have a objective holder I don't want dead, maybe you could throw Dying Curse on that fighter to just have your opponent be like, maybe I'll save him for last, type of situation. Maybe they never get around to it. I don't know. I mean, I think it's cool. I like it. But
I definitely think it's a bubble card. I half sleeve it. Can we have the half sleeve? Because I think for some it would actually work.
Well, then you'd sleeve it.
Okay.
If you like it, you sleeve it.
All right. I'm going to sleeve it then.
Yeah. I think I'm going to sleeve it too. I think it's an interesting card. One that I've seen pop up a little bit, which piqued my interest. So yeah, if you want to try Dying Curse, let us know if the curse is worth it. Seems fun. Cool.
It's different. I like it.
Yeah. All right. So I believe there are 30 universals. I think it's 10, 10, 10, maybe 11, 11, 11. But we'll start with objectives, go to the gambits, and then end with the upgrades. So starting out with the first universal objective, it's called Find a Path. It's a hybrid for one glory. Score this in the end phase if two or more friendly fighters are in edge hexes that are not in your territory, or one or more friendly hunters are in edge hexes in enemy territory.
I really like the second condition. The hunt, like one hunter on an edge hex, like that's it's pretty easy to do. Get them over in enemy territory. And it, the first condition is not bad either, although two fighters, you know, if you don't, you're not playing a ranged warband, maybe hard or maybe out of your plan to get them on edge hexes. But it's not terrible. But if I'm playing like Wild Hunt or something that has a lot of hunters and has range, I think this might find the way in there. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I agree. I do like the second condition a lot. I think if you're playing like an aggressive hunter warband, this fits in perfectly because like Beast Trail will score you this card, right? So you just play Beast Trail, jump to the other side of the board. You're now have a threat on the opponent's side and you can score Find a Path. I actually think this is really good for Starblood Stalkers. It's a hybrid, so it can contribute to the great plan. I think you take Beast Trail in that deck anyways, and you got plenty of hunters. So I think it works fairly well for any warband really that has hunters, but especially ones that use Beast Trail.
Agreed.
Okay, next one is Going In for the Kill. It's two glory, dual. Score this in the end phase if each surviving fighter is in enemy territory and there are more surviving friendly fighters than surviving enemy fighters.
So the more surviving friendly fighters than surviving enemy fighters. Yeah, it's definitely a later half of the game score. The two glory is nice, but they're just, I think that there's some matchups that you're not going to get that more surviving friendly fighters than surviving enemy fighters. So it becomes limited to in the warbands that would consider this card.
Yeah. I also think that like by the nature of the first condition, you're going to want less fighters because there's less fighters required to get over into enemy territory. But then if you have like a smaller warband or you take an early loss, you might never actually get that second condition. Maybe like an aggro Grimwatch or an aggro Starblood Stalkers could do this, but I feel like you're right in that it is a mid to late game score. So probably not something that is too appealing to me at this time, though the artwork is cool.
It is. They're all those black powder, they're just running all at you, swinging at you.
Yeah. I like how KG actually is using the grappling hook. So he's flying. The next card, I feel like Doraz is really just getting beat up in a lot of these cards.
He is. He's right? Just.
Yeah, he's just been impaled in this one. Indifferent End is a one glory surge. Score this immediately after a friendly fighter's attack action that takes an enemy fighter out of action if that enemy fighter had one or more illusion upgrades at the start of the attack action.
For me, it's okay. I'm probably not taking this because I'm reliant on my opponent playing illusion upgrades. So I do think we'll get into it, you know, later or on the next episode. I think there will be some out there, but I just don't like having to wait for that condition.
Yeah. Yeah. 100%. Speaking of last episode, in the last episode, we mentioned, you know, some episode numbers. Those are going to be incorrect because of the far list kind of popped up. So far list will bump everything back up a number, but yeah, in case you were wondering about that, but I completely agree with what you said about this card. It's cool. I get why it's there. It's not consistent enough for me. Next card is Last Stand, two glory dual card.
There he is getting beat up again.
He's about to get punched. Score this in the end phase if each friendly fighter is adjacent to one or more friendly fighters And each friendly fighter is within two hexes of one or more enemy fighters. So it's like a weird version of Unafraid.
Unafraid, yeah.
Potentially easier to score in some cases. And potentially a lot harder.
It could help elite warbands, like three-fighter warbands. It's still... I mean, it's doable, and I'm sure someone will figure it out, but I would not take it just because each have to be there until late game when I have one fighter remaining. Like, yeah, late game, great. Early game, not so much.
I don't even think you can score it with one fighter left.
Each friendly
fighter is adjacent to one or more. So you'd have to have two fighters left.
Yeah,
at minimum. So like maybe Rippas, like you lose one and then, but then I think you're playing Unafraid anyways, right? So Yeah, it's probably too specific.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, it's okay. Yeah. Next one is One Glory, Let Shadows Lie. Score this in an end phase if each surviving friendly fighter is two or more hexes from the nearest cover hex, blocked hex, and lethal hex. I feel like there should be an or there.
Yeah, that's what I was looking for. I'm like, wait a minute. Do I have to have all three to trigger? So friendly fighter is two or more hexes from the nearest cover hex, blocked hex, and lethal hex. It kind of, to me, the first glance at it, you have to meet all three of those conditions, which is, you really have to pick the right board to do that.
Well, it's also each surviving friendly fighter. So I definitely think it should be an or. So I think this probably needs to be immediately errated or FAQ'd. Because in its current wording, it is a very bad card.
Yeah. Yes. That's a hard pass unless it is changed.
Yeah, this is you definitely let this card lie.
Yeah.
Okay. Next card is Make a Path. I think that's Doraz again. One Glory Duel. Score this in the end phase if your leader has one or more charge tokens and is in enemy territory, and one or more enemy fighters are out of action.
Like it. This is straightforward. You want to go kill stuff and be in enemy territory? Give it to me.
Yeah. I do like this one a lot for warbands with strong, aggressive leaders. I think Hrothgorn's going to like this. I think Gorlok's going to like this. Drepper, Briar Queen, Kanan, you know.
Yeah.
Lots of good warbands here. And it's a One Glory end phase, but it's a duel, so can help with Rippas too, actually, because they've got some crazy cards. The next one is Ordered Reality. Hybrid, score this in an end phase if one or more of your opponent's illusion upgrades was broken in the preceding phase, or each surviving friendly fighter has the same number of upgrades. In parentheses, zero is a number. For One Glory.
Again, you know, our illusions being played, and then the upgrades, maybe turn one, maybe, but for One Glory, I'm going elsewhere. I do like the art on it though, like the broken illusionary shield or something like that. He's just hacking through, like it.
Yeah, it's definitely cool art. I kind of actually am really intrigued by this card because, like, you can just start the game and with this in your opening hand and like, yeah, you know, that's just a free glory if I don't play any upgrades, which is interesting. I do think that you're right, later in the game it gets kind of tough. But if you're playing like a three-man warband, then I think you can manage that a little bit better. I'm probably a little higher on this card than I logically should be, but I think it's kind of neat. I just feel like someone's going to like break it. They're just going to like build a deck where they just get a bunch of One Glory cards and just start scoring them really consistently because like zero is a number.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely can be scored with the zero. I mean, but what, am I going to cycle my opening draw to get this turn one? Or, I mean, maybe I play all illusion upgrades and they break at the end of the phase so they don't have anything. I mean,
Illusory Might is releasing with this card, right? We're going to talk about those cards in the next episode. But, you know, like, could work if you take a lot of illusions.
Oh, maybe. I still don't like it. Prove me wrong. Prove me wrong, please. Because then I'll
play. Fair enough. Okay. The next one then is Generous Blessing. This, so Ordered Reality was actually, we should mention, was a Grand Alliance Order card. Yes. So it only works for Order factions, Order Warbands. The next one is a Chaos card called Generous Blessing, Grand Alliance Chaos. Hybrid, score this in the end phase if one or more friendly fighters each have three or more upgrades, or there are one or more surviving friendly Nurgle fighters and enemy fighters have three or more wound counters.
So first off, I do like that we're getting the Grand Alliance, like, additional cards, and I really like the call out to just straight Nurgle. I think that that's kind of cool that they get a specific way to achieve this objective. And we've seen this one or more friendly fighters each have three or more upgrades. I mean, that's going to happen in a lot of decks. So I think it fits. The secondary condition is, I guess, okay. If you're playing Nurgle, you're trying to do that to inspire, you know, you're going to have hopefully one surviving friendly fighter. So I think it's a pretty good chaos card.
Yeah, to me, this is just like a free Nurgle card. Like, I don't know if Chaos Warbands are going to really, like, love the neutral condition. But, like, the Nurgle condition is, as you said, it's, you're going to do that anyways, trying to inspire. The trick might be that, actually, no, because as long as an enemy fighter is three or more wound counters. So maybe later in the game it gets harder. But if you've got a lot of ping damage in your deck or you're just, like, poking the enemy, I think it's a pretty good card for Nurgle, which is a warband that is struggling. So it's nice to see that they get some sort of additional support, but not sure if it's going to be like the home run that they need, right?
Yeah, right.
So
they need more surges. That's what they need.
Yeah. Yeah, they need more surges. Next one is a Grand Alliance Death card. Ooh, ominous. Probably broken.
Probably.
Sick art, though. But it's called Path of Death. It's a duel for three glory. Score this in the end phase if two or more enemy fighters are out of action and there are no enemy fighters in your territory or no one's territory.
I mean, Grimwatch want to keep you out of their territory anyway, right? So that playstyle is there. Two fighters out of action for three glory. It's not a third end phase. I mean, it's pretty good. It's not as broken as other death cards, but it's pretty good.
I think it's actually a really good card. I'll tell you why. This is not going to go in a warband like Sebulchral Guard, or actually, I don't even think it'll be a Grimwatch card. I think this is a card you stick into Crimson Court, Wraith Creepers, and Kanan's Reapers, and you just say go. If your objective is to, like, be aggressive, charge into enemy territory and kill them, you could actually crazily maybe even score this round one, right? Like, if you get two kills and they're playing defensive or they charge into your territory and you killed them or pushed them out, like, that's crazy. The cool thing with Wraith Creepers is, you know, yeah, they kind of got nerfed a little bit with the FAR that just dropped, but they're still really good at, like, taking people out in their own territory, right? Because they have that patrician push. So if you are heavily deterred to go into their territory and then they like to charge out and maybe, you know, get a couple kills, this is a great second round score too. I don't know. I think this is kind of a good card, actually. I think it'll be hard to score with, like, most Death Warbands, but I think you'll be able to do it with one or two. And I think it's one of the three I mentioned.
I think Kanan's Reapers definitely, and because most of the builds I've gone up against have been very aggressive. So they kind of, you know, press you into your own territory, you know, and things are going to die. So, yeah, I mean, three glory is a lot of glory. So, but it's a death card. What do you expect?
Yeah. I mean, anytime there's any card that says in an end phase rather than the third end phase and it's three glory, you're going to try to make it work. Because if you can make it work, you're Gucci. You know, you're going to love it. This should have been two glory, but I don't know. It is what it is.
It's that really is five glory, right? Because you have two enemies out of action. So if you're scoring this, you got five total glory. It's
yeah. I mean, in a way, it could be a win more card.
Yeah.
But because if you score this, in theory, like you're probably in a good spot. But you know, it's just the path of death. Not far behind, we've got a Destruction Grand Alliance card called Path of Destruction. It's a duel for two glory. Score this in an end phase if there are more enemy fighters out of action than there are surviving enemy fighters, and there are no enemy fighters out of action, and there are more enemy fighters out of action than there are friendly fighters out of action. So you have to have more fighters alive than they do, and you have to have killed more fighters than they've killed yours.
Kill more than half their warband and have that be less than you.
Yeah, it's kind of tough.
It is, unless you're Molog.
Well, maybe Molog in 2019.
Yes.
But 2022 Molog. So
he's still Molog. He will always live on forever and ever.
In my nightmares, yeah. I actually think this is not a good card. I'm not a big fan of this one.
No. I mean, yeah, it's too many conditions and having to achieve both of them. I don't like it either.
I think that's one of the biggest pitfalls of Grand Alliance cards. It's like you want them to be really good, but like factually they can't because there are so many warbands that can interact with them. Like if it was a faction card, you can kind of limit the strength of it, but you never really know how good it'll be because you can never truly test it with every single warband. So you kind of have to make them harder than maybe less interesting or more generic, which ends up actually making them weaker or harder to score. Because Ordered Reality, I mean, I see what they tried to do with the ore, right? Just so that it is improved a little bit. But then we've got a Nurgle card. Then you got the strongest one is Path of Death. But even then, that is, like, you know, people can counterplay that, but
you bring up a great point, right? Like, because there are so many warbands that they apply to, you want it to be thematic and bring story and have a cool trigger. But the what if you have like five or plus warbands in that faction, that alliance, it could be really broken for one faction, right? So they do become generic, as you put it.
Yeah, that is the challenge with Grand Alliance, but you know, except death. But moving on to the Gambits, employees. Why don't you take those? Why don't you read those?
Fantastic. Reading is my favorite thing. Thank you.
There you go.
Flinting Shadow, choose one friendly fighter, push the chosen fighter up to one hex towards the nearest enemy fighter, then give the chosen fighter one guard token, and the chosen fighter is a companion. If the chosen fighter is a companion. So, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, so actually, this is kind of interesting. I actually immediately think of Buccaneers as like a good option for this. It's an additional sidestep. It's really good with Mange because Mange can potentially, like, you can kind of maneuver this in a way that he could maybe jump onto a feature token, you know, as he's moving closer, then he's on guard, you know, then he's like two dodge or three dodge, depending if he's inspired or not, on guard, which is pretty powerful. But this is really good for like Sleek maybe as well, or Shriek. Probably not Ligain or Grawl, but at the very least, even if you don't have a companion, you get a push, which is dope.
Yeah.
And I think an aggressive sidestep is always good in this game. So I think this is a good card. This is a B. Like, there's going to be uses if you put it in your deck and you played it. I could completely understand why. But it's only if you're going to ever need more than one sidestep, because sidestep will always be better than this card, right?
Yeah.
It's if you just need more and your faction doesn't have access to it, or your Grand Alliance, then you take a card like this.
Yeah, Black Powder for me is like, would be the perfect faction, because you could not just use it on those companions, but to get him in better position to use his range to attack. This is it's a pretty good card to set that up.
Yeah, definitely. Let's go to the next one.
God, man, one of these days I should explain my reading problems, but you know, the listeners will just get used to it. So
I mean, if you want me to read them,
No. We're good. But like, I just think it's, you know, it's, yeah, it's for another time. But a Grievous Skier, like, reaction, play this after a friendly fighter's range one to range two attack actions, scatter four from that fighter's hex and push that fighter to three hexes, up to three hexes along the chain. If the chain is interrupted, or if the fighter would be pushed into a hex that is blocked or occupied, do not push them further.
So this is essentially like your opponent's doing like a whirlwind spin move, where they like spin and then like they hit you and spin away or whatever. Like your fighter's doing that. Like, you know what I'm talking about? Like a very thematic moment.
Yeah, like a Tasmanian devil spin. Like just
kind of, yeah. It almost reminds me of like you're juking someone, like, you know?
Yeah.
Like you went in for the thing and then you just like, you like slap, like, you know, whatever, you hit them or you didn't, and then you kind of spin away because you're really mobile or really fancy with a sword or whatever. But interesting card. I don't think it really impresses me in many ways. I mean, I feel like you can maybe be kind of cheeky with it, get a kill, and then maybe hopefully land on a feature token. You know, that could be something that you could hope to happen, but you can't really rely on scatter. It is scatter four, but that means you'll have to, you know, physically move three different times. So not sure how that's going to work.
Yeah. I mean, scatter four, pushing three hexes, you know, you can probably pick, it'll probably end up where you want to go. Right. But it is not as controllable as just a push card, which we have access to. It is definitely thematic, and I can definitely see it in my mind as we play the card and someone's whirling around the battlefield. But I don't know the usage unless I mean, range two, get them set up for another attack at range two, maybe. But scatter is random. I know how you love random.
Yeah. It's a cool concept. It really is. I don't see it. I'm not seeing it, like, you know, in a competitive lens.
Yeah.
But, you know, next one.
Halls of Hidden Eyes. Rolls of single supports and double supports are successes in attack rolls if the target is in a cover hex. This effect persists until another waypoint is played, and has keyword waypoint.
Yeah, this is cool because it's kind of like cycles, like Nurgle. You know, or like essentially a persistent Gammon effect until it's replaced by a similar persistent Gammon effect. So it's kind of cool that they opened it up to like a universal pool. I think that's pretty neat. I actually think from an accuracy perspective, this can be pretty solid because a lot of people are using cover. They're hiding in cover. Right now, I think some of the more popular warbands are maybe harnessing the objective side of the token, but you know, you could maybe manipulate someone into a cover hex as well through a drive back or a distraction, but it's not bad. I do think it's situational, and I think there are better accuracy cards out there, but if like Cunning Crew, for example, is like really, really popular, this is a good meta pick for that.
I really like this card. One, because it does persist all the way through. So, you know, if I have it start of the round, I don't draw into it. I put it down, I get all four activations with it. And seeing two dodge fighters on Gloom cover hexes really scares me. So this gives me extra accuracy to for my attack rolls to go through. So I like it. And if you have a two smash fighter, right, the only fails on the dice are the Fury. So this will see its way into a number of my decks, I think.
Yeah, and actually, now that I'm thinking about it more and more, this technically will last forever, like the whole game, unless someone plays a waypoint.
Oh, that is true. Yeah.
So, in a way, if you get this round one and your opponent has no waypoints in their deck, like, you just get a permanent buff whenever they're in a cover hex for the rest of the game. Because it only goes away until another waypoint is played.
Yeah, very true. And your opponent gets it too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so
your opponent gets the benefit also.
Yeah, but I'm putting it in a deck. Like, I guess I'm looking at it as a lens where I don't really get on a lot of the cover Gloom hexes. Like, if I'm just playing my aggro warband and go, I like it. I think it's cool.
Yeah. Now that I've realized that it lasts for the whole game and you and your opponent both benefit for it, I don't like it.
No? Okay.
No. Because I don't want to give them buffs. Like, any card I want should give me the advantage. But this is just making it to where we'll both hit each other more consistently if our fighters are in cover hexes, or this will lead us both to stay away from cover hexes. And maybe that's what I want, right? If that's your strategy, is to hope your opponent doesn't have cover hex control, then maybe this card is worth it. But I don't know. I'm, now that I realize that, like, you, now that you mentioned that both players gain the benefit, I don't like it.
I understand that, right? Like, it definitely takes cover out of my play style. If I'm playing this, I don't want to stand in cover because I'm spending, a resource that's limited in my possession for my opponent. But again, those two dodge warbands, they love to stand on that. Maybe I've gone up against Slaanesh too many times and had Glissette and standing on the Gloom hex, and now I can't hit her whatsoever, and she's, you know, just doing her thing. I just like the fact that I have that accuracy against cover, and a lot of the warbands that are playing objectives will typically flip a lot, right? Like, they'll try to get the benefit whenever they're not trying to score the objectives. So, you know, getting that kind of bonus that they have going on, but to your point, helping your opponent out. So, the next one, so moving on from that, helping everyone at the table. And then the next card is Illusionary Maze. So reaction as a trap card, reaction after enemy fighter's move action. If that fighter has one or more illusion upgrades, give that fighter one charge token. Otherwise, stagger that fighter. That's interesting.
So essentially it reads, after an enemy's fighter's move action, if they don't have an illusion, you stagger them. If they have an illusion upgrade, you can give them a charge token.
Correct.
So I actually think this is a pretty good card because, in effect, this is, like, at the very least, this is an accuracy card because it makes you more likely to hit them because they're staggered.
It gives you the reroll.
And yeah, in worst case scenario, or sorry, even better scenario, you just slap a charge token on someone. That's insane. But you can't rely on that because it's you don't know if they're going to run illusions or not. There might be a lot because of Illusory Might, but
yeah. And the charge token could be really detrimental to them because, you know, after the charge, after the move action of a charge, then you'd get a charge token anyway if you're on a charge. So it's not going to stop a charge, right?
No, it won't stop a charge.
But like if they're trying to do something else, it locks down the fighter. But really, the stagger. Like, we haven't seen a ton of stagger in the game up to this point. And the reroll is solid. Like, and it stays with that fighter. So the stagger token stays with that enemy fighter, so you can get multiple uses out of it. It's pretty
until they. Well, until the end of the round, and I think if you go on guard.
Yeah, they could go on guard and take it off.
Yeah, take it off. But yeah, it's interesting. Like it's so interesting because like a lot of these cards, I'm like, oh, this is kind of cool. Like I want to play with it, and then like I build my deck, and I'm like, ah, it's just not going to fit in my 10. And like this is one of those cards where I'm like, I want to use it, but it's just not going to fit in my 10. But maybe that's why you play 11. Who knows?
Maybe. Next card is Shadow Bomb. Balm, choose one fighter, heal one that fighter. So just a straight heal. Just heal them up.
It's great for Eltharis.
No, it's not happening.
I think this is an okay card. Like it's not better than Healing Potion, so.
Yes. So if you have that one large fighter and you're looking to keep that large fighter alive, great, put it in there. But I don't think it's going to see a ton of play.
Yeah. No, I don't think so at all, actually.
Next is Spiraling Confusion. Choose one friendly fighter and one enemy fighter adjacent to that fighter. Do the following for each chosen fighter. Scatter one from the chosen fighter's hex and push that fighter along the chain to the end hex. If the chain is interrupted, or if the fighter would be pushed into a hex that is blocked or occupied, do not push them.
This is kind of cool. This is like a very confusing confusion.
It's the best way to put it.
Hence the name Spiraling Confusion. So like, I think confusion is better, right? Because the way that I'm thinking you want to use this card is, there's two ways that I'm thinking. Either they're on a feature token, you weren't able to dislodge them, or an objective, red feature token, whatever. It's encompassing. And you do this to where, like, hopefully you get them off. So maybe you could, like, be in a situation where you charge a fighter, kill them, and then Spiraling Confusion one that's adjacent to them. The other thing I'm thinking is that maybe an opponent has charged you, and you're trying to further displace that fighter on the board to where they're more accessible by the rest of your warband. So maybe your opponent charged their fighter in a place that they thought was a safe charge, but then you can maybe do it in a way in which you have now exposed their fighter further, so it's not as safe, so they're more susceptible to your other fighters, is a way maybe you could do it. But again, I just think confusion does that, right? So because confusion exists, I don't think you're going to play this card unless you want a confusion and then like a half confusion.
Yeah, I think that this is another way of looking at it. For me, is almost a kind of a distraction. So if, to your point, if they're standing on an objective or feature hex and I want them off, I can go in and attack. And if the attack misses, I can then play this card and definitely get them off. Like, unless there's some sort of blocking hex around them, but typically that there would be nothing around them. You put down the standard token, you push them off, and I don't really care where my fighter ends up. So
yeah, and the only way they wouldn't be distracted is if you like have any part of the scatter token facing your fighter that's adjacent.
Yes.
Right. So
yeah,
you know, it's, I guess in a way, yeah, it is an adjacent distraction, but one that's not necessarily controllable. I mean, ideally, you know, the highest likelihood is rolling a smash, but we all know that it's not as reliable as you think. But it's cool.
Well, that moves us to the next one, the Unlikely Hero. Choose one friendly fighter. The chosen fighter has the following cumulative benefits: plus one move, plus one wounds if the chosen fighter has a wounds characteristic of two or less, plus one damage to the chosen fighter's range one and range two attack actions if the chosen fighter is a minion. This effect persists until the next power step. That's a lot.
I think it's actually a really good card, especially because there's so many more minions now added to the game based on the errata and FAQ. But like, you know, stick this on like a Skaven, and they're now six move, three wounds or four wounds, three wounds, I think, and, you know, 2 to 3 damage, and it stacks with a weapon, right? So you can do this on, you know, KG or another minion, I guess, a Chain Rasp even, you know, like that all comes in handy at one point. And they do actually, as true to the card's name, become an unlikely hero in some situations. So I think it's a pretty good card for warbands that run minions.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
At the very least, if you have a warband that's full of two wound fighters, you'll get plus one move and plus one wound, which is effectively a great fortitude style ability. But again, this effect only persists until the next power step. So I really think the strength of the card lies in the damage, because the wound doesn't really matter, right? Maybe it's more the movement or the damage that you're looking for. And I don't think you're going to take a card that just gives you plus one move, because you can just take Membranous Fangs or that other card that makes you a quarry and gives you Spectral Wings, essentially. So really, this card is only good if you're putting it on a minion that's trying to kill something.
Outrun
is my long-winded answer.
Outrun is the card that you're...
Outrun Death, you know. Yeah.
Yeah, so I do think it's really good if you have a minion in your warband. The plus one wound is kind of like okay. I don't know. I don't really know where that would come into effect unless you're running through a lethal or something. But the plus one move can definitely help you with the plus one damage. So I like it. I think anybody that has a minion will probably find a use for this. And now that there is a lot more minions, pretty good. Next is land grab. It's a keyword maneuver. Push two friendly fighters up to two hexes. After each push, that fighter must be in no one's territory.
Yeah, and this is a Grand Alliance Order card. So
yes,
it's kind of cool. It's really limiting, though, so I actually don't think this is something that would make it into my deck unless I draw this early and I'm trying to be aggressive.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't. The condition they must be in no one's territory is very limiting to the card, and you're only limited. You're limited already by a warband selection. So, next one, the Chaos Victory's Reward reaction. Play this after a friendly fighter's range one or range two attack action that takes the target out of action. Pick one, heal two that friendly fighter, or give that friendly fighter one guard token. If that fighter is a Khorne fighter, pick one or both.
So it's really interesting because, like, you have to get a kill. So you kill something and then you react, heal two, or get a guard token. Or if you're playing Reavers or Mogoras, you get both. So it's, I guess there's some flexibility there, right? So maybe depending on what point of the game you're in, you can count on being harder to hit or just maybe hopefully being alive longer. My only challenge is that it just requires a range one, a range two attack action that must kill something. And I think that's the biggest limit, is because you can't rely on getting that kill, because dice are by nature unreliable. So I think it's, you know, I don't even think I'd take this in Magoras Fiends.
I don't think so either. The condition to trigger either one of those, like if I kill the fighter that's standing next to me, do I need to be on guard? Maybe, but is there an easier method already through our universals to be on guard? So yeah, I don't, I think that this card falls to the generic. It's cool. It's thematic. I like the corn keyword. Like, I like that, but I don't think it's making it in any of my decks. Now on to the death card. What,
dun, dun, dun.
What hotness do we have? Plunder the Graves. Shuffle your power discard pile face down. Then draw the top card. Return that card to your hand.
It's cool because like it's thematic, right? Like death, it's your graveyard, whatever. You know, your discard pile is your graveyard in other games. I think this is actually has a potential to be quite abusable, if only because like you can play one card, then just immediately get it back with Plunder the Graves. So I think if there's some strong gambits that Death Warbands like to use, which there are, this could be a way in which you can kind of game it. Because like every card you put in your deck is good, right? In theory. So if you build a good deck, you're going to have good cards in it. And if you're going to take a card in your deck to be able to use the effect just once, you might be tempted to use any of those effects twice, right? So maybe you'll get a second Hypnotic Buzz or a second Partial Resurrection, which can be quite, I guess, backbreaking for your opponent in some situations. I mean, really powerful for you. As the game goes on longer, could be harder. But then again, you could get like another Duel of Wits too. Yeah. Like you can take a restricted ploy and get double the value for it in concept. So I definitely think, in a way, this is like a very minimum draw a card you've already, your opponent already has information to, but it's really good. I like it, but I can see why people wouldn't take it, right? Because it's essentially hoping that you use one of your nine cards twice because this is your 10th.
Yes.
If that makes sense.
Yeah, no, I'm right there with you. I think, you know, playing Rivals, Grimwatch has a card similar where you shut, you know, it can be played in Championship too, but you don't see it often where you shuffle the Grimwatch faction cards and pull one back out. And in playing Rivals, I've seen that be fairly good, recycling one of their cards. And then this, if you have it in turn one and you have Partial Resurrection, you're just like, life is great.
Yeah.
Or death is great, you should say. And the fact that your upgrades aren't going to go really into your discard pile very often, this is it's just like an 11th gambit, so it's pretty good. I like it.
Yeah, I like it conceptually. In practice, it remains to be seen, but it's definitely something I want to try.
Okay, and the last one's Destruction, Playful Shake. Reaction, play this after a friendly beast's range one attack action. If the target is adjacent, deal one damage to the target, then push the target one hex.
So essentially it's like a trap without the drive back, but then you kind of get the drive back after the fact because it's a push, right? But you can push them anywhere. I think it's good for Thrafnir, who's on the card art. I think it's, I'm trying to think of other beasts.
Growl. I guess
Shriek. Well, Growl is
he's not Destruction, though. Yeah.
Yeah. If I go to Warbands on DB. Yeah, the only other beast I see, I think it's just Hrothgorn, actually. Just Thrafnir. And then Shriek. There's no other beast.
Wow. I mean, it's good for him. So
it's good for Shriek too. He has a Grievous attack, you know, like it's pretty solid.
Wow, but, it's crazy. It's just for two fighters.
Yeah. I mean, again, like it's a good card for Thrafnir. Like I would consider it, you know, cause like you're going to put all your damage on Hrothgorn, but then maybe Thrafnir out of nowhere can do like, How much damage does Thrafnir do?
He does two, so this takes him to three.
Is it two inspired? Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So in theory, you can do like a two damage, three fury cleave attack. You get to reroll one of them, and then you do the third damage, and then maybe you push him into a lethal and kill him, It's four damage right there. Right.
Yeah.
So crazy.
It's crazy. It's crazy. It's yeah.
Situationally crazy.
Situationally crazy. Which seems to be some of the theme of the cards in the in this universal pool.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like ever since Direchasm, like they're all these cards are like playable, which is something that Jonathan used to like always emphasize. Was like I can see why you could take it. You probably won't, but there's an edge case. Which is awesome because there were a lot of cards in Shadespire, Nightfall, and Beastgrave where you're like, why would I ever put this in my deck? Right, so.
Yeah.
That's cool.
And that's the joy of building decks in Championship is unlocking those combinations, and these cards can lead into that. So,
yeah.
They are interesting.
Yeah, like if someone played Playful Shake, whether it was used with Shriek or with Thrafnir, I wouldn't fault them for it. In fact, I would maybe sometimes get like try to play around it if I was playing against Thrafnir, right? But we forgot to do the favorite card because that ends the gambits, right? So
that does, yes.
I'm gonna have to ask you what your favorite objective was.
All the way back to objectives. Oh man, yeah. I think find a path is my favorite.
Yeah,
just you know, with Godsworn Hunt getting some hunters. Like, you know, I like that one.
It's a good card. It's a good one glory reliable. If I had to pick one, I think I would just pick Path of Death. I think that's a really interesting card that I want to try with Reapers or with Crimson Court. And if it becomes really popular, then I think people will be able to play around it. But I think right now, in the testing area, you know, like where there's a lot of innovation for the first 2-3 weeks, it might take people off guard.
Yeah. So gambits, what was your favorite gambit?
Ooh, gambit. I don't know if I have a favorite. I think the one I'm most interested in is Plunder the Graves. I just want to see if it works the way I want it to. I don't know if it will. What about you?
I'm right there with you. I would like to see how someone could unlock it, right? But I'm going with the Halls of Hidden Eyes. I want cover neutralized for, you know, a lot of the warbands that I play. So I want to see that, and I think it's a great, cool, like new mechanic of the waypoint thing. So
yeah. I mean, it is cool. Yeah. Okay. Well, that is that's neat. I still don't know how I feel about it, honestly. I don't think I like it. But you're making me second guess it.
It's so for me, that's my type of card. Like, it's probably it is not the most efficient card. I definitely appreciate your point of like you're helping your opponent. But I like cards that kind of that do that. They just cause chaos. They cause a different style of play. And Godsworn Hunt is one of my favorite warbands. Lately, I've been, you know, playing Idoneth. Like, I like that quick charge. Blade Coven is also one of my other favorite warbands. So, like, just to go in and, like, the odds are stacked against me. And you're playing objectives, gloom, you want to hold those feature tokens. Like, I think it just neutralizes it, makes you second guess to stand on them. You probably are if that's what your objective deck is, but I'm going to get a benefit for it now.
I mean, I definitely think that's fair. You lost me at Blade Coven, but you know, if that's what you like, that's what you like.
I like the uphill battle, so.
There you go. All right. Well, let's do these upgrades. First one, really cool card. Adept's Smoke. You cannot give this card to a leader. This fighter is an assassin. Reaction after an enemy fighter's activation. If that fighter is adjacent to this fighter, place this fighter on a cover hex in your territory. Then give this fighter one charge token and break this card.
after the activation. I would really like to if it was after the move.
Yeah, I mean, essentially, you're just becoming an assassin and you got smoke bombs.
Yeah, it's very thematic, really cool, but my fighter has to survive, like, probably being charged, right? Because that fighter is adjacent to this fighter, and it's because it's after your activation. So if I survive, it's really cool. It helps me get, you know, kind of, what was the card season one where you would bounce back illusionary fighter? It was a gambit, yeah. But I can see it kind of played sort of the same way because you can react and get two charge tokens. Okay, great. Gets me back into my territory. So there is some play there. It just, you have to survive that attack or.
Yeah. I mean, I also don't know if the reaction matters. Like, this just makes your fighter an assassin regardless.
Okay.
And like, if you want to score cards that revolve around the assassin keyword, or maybe you want to build like into assassin a little bit more, like, you know, maybe like you want to play Farstriders now, and it's because Swiftblade is an assassin, you can maybe make the other one who's not Farstrider. What's his name?
Eagle Eye.
You can make Eagle Eye an assassin. Maybe you can build some assassin objectives in your deck to help you score glory.
Yeah.
The reaction, I think, is cool, and you're right. It's extremely situational. But I guess I'm just more locked in on, oh, cool, my fighter is now an assassin.
You do like assassins, don't you?
I do. this next card is really cool. It's called Bound Bolt. So it's a bound spell. So essentially you can equip a fighter with a spell-like ability. I really like the thematicism here because the first sentence is, you cannot give this card to a Khorne fighter, which...
It's awesome.
You know, yeah, Khorne hates magic, so.
That's really cool.
Yeah. So this is spell action. It's one channel, so you have to roll a channel. So your fighter will have to have this upgrade, and then they'll make an action where they attempt to cast a spell. So I'm assuming, it says actually right here, this fighter is a level one wizard while attempting to cast a spell and cannot attempt to cast any other spell. After this fighter makes this action, break this card. So you get a one-shot spell. What this spell does, if cast, deal one damage to one enemy fighter within three hexes of the caster, which I actually think is really good. Because it's like, it's literally Sphere of Action, but it costs a glory to use.
But it also takes an action.
Yes. Yes, that's true. Which makes it significantly worse than Sphere of Action. But I mean, if you're looking for like a way to finish off a fighter, you got a 66% chance.
Yeah, it's a very accurate one damage attack. Well, it's not even an attack. It's an action. So they don't get a defense roll. So that is kind of cool.
Yeah, it's literally you're casting a spell. It's just your whole activation. And I guess it makes sense because you're not a wizard. So it probably takes your entire concentration to try to use this bound item that like has magical properties.
Yeah. Very, very cool card. Like, very cool card. I like it. My mind is grasping how I would play it. I think that is cool. Like, you're making someone that is not a wizard a wizard, and you're casting a spell. That's cool. Gives you a reason to use those magic dice.
It does give you a reason to use those magic dice that haven't been used very much lately. But I like it. I like the idea of it more than the card itself. But I would spend an action if I really needed to do one ping damage to kill an enemy fighter. And this gives me a pretty good shot of doing so.
Yeah. It gets around a lot of the defensive upgrades that are out there for one damage.
So. Yeah. Exactly. Next card, Darkening Stone. It's a metalith. You cannot give this card to a leader. This fighter is an assassin. This fighter is considered to be in a cover hex. That's really good.
That is really good.
I love that.
That's That Lady Harrow loves this card.
Oh God. Yeah. Now this is, well, she's a leader, so she can't use it.
Well, her warband, I'm sorry.
Yeah. Lady Harrow's warband, yeah.
Loves this card. Yes.
Yeah. A lot of fighters. Clatrock loves this card. Glenn Clatrock's on 2 block with also counting half supports or double supports actually. Cause cover. Cover hex are double supports. Double support, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And crazy, man.
And you throw in the assassin keyword. Well, you know, just to pause one second, like I do appreciate what they have done with a lot of these cards on, you know, can't be given to a leader. It can't be given to a Khorne warband. You can really see the card design trying to eliminate some of those corner cases where the card, you know, the Molochs and the Rothkorns that abuse a certain card. So I do like that, but this card, I think we're going to see this everywhere. So
yeah, but only if you have a warband that has strong fighters outside of the leader.
Yeah,
like the one, like for example, like Draknar. This is great on Draknar. This is great on Clatrock. This is great on, yeah, you're right. It's a couple of Harrows, the Everhanged. Like, there's so many good fighters out there who can use this card. And the cool thing is that it's not going to be abused by a leader, which I love.
Yeah. Yeah. So, two dodge, really, this card makes them 2 shields. So,
yeah, true. True that. I like it. The next card is Encrusted Key. This is a cursed key. If this fighter isn't a cover hex at the end of the third action phase, gain 1 glory point.
Will we ever see keys come back and be played? If we do, this would probably be the one that a lot of people stand in cover hexes. It's an upgrade. I definitely think that this will see play with the way it's going.
People love these kind of cards. It works with Darkening Stone as well. Because your fighter is always considered to be in a cover hex, so
it does.
This is a card that to me this reminds me of like Hero's Mantle, whatever it's called, like Hero's Mantle.
Yeah, the one
from season one, the one for the leader.
The leader, yep.
It's kind of the same thing, or like the one for holding an objective.
Yes.
So yeah, it's a good card. Historically, we've seen it do well. The next one is Keen Sense. This fighter is a hunter. This fighter's attack actions have Grievous, restricted to a companion.
So if my companion already had Grievous and I give them this Grievous, is it double Grievous or single Grievous?
I don't think Grievous stacks. That's a good question, though. But from my understanding, I don't think it stacks.
Yeah, because it's just a keyword, right?
It's just a keyword. So. Like, it's not like it's knockback. Like, for example, like if this said this fighter is a hunter, this fighter's attack actions have knockback. If you already have knockback, you don't add knockback to get knockback too.
Yeah, right? Same with cleave or ensnare, right?
Yeah, you don't get double cleave or double ensnare, exactly. So actually, because Shriek's on this card, it's actually a terrible example because Shriek has Grievous.
Yeah.
But like, I don't know, who's a good companion?
Grawl,
maybe?
Grawl.
Loghain.
Yeah. Does the Truth Seeker's bird...
He's a companion, yep.
I mean, but on his uninspired side, he doesn't have Grievous. On his inspired side, he gains Grievous. I just don't think there's enough companions out there that are going to benefit for this card that we're going to see it anywhere.
Okay, well, the next one then is Shadow Keeper. This fighter's on guard. Oof. Jeez, another one of these. Reaction, after an enemy fighter's failed attack action, if this fighter was the target, was adjacent, and there was one or more crits in the defense roll, deal 1 damage to the attacker.
I love the crits. I like that one. I like the fact that I'm on guard, and if I roll a crit, it's doing something to you.
I'm actually really disappointed they printed another card that just puts a fighter straight on guard.
Yes. Yeah. This one will be.
I would have figured they would have learned by now, but this is getting probably restricted at some point. And this is actually even better because, like, if your opponent tries to hit you and they failed and you happen to have a crit in your defense, they just take it. So this is Galligan.
Galligan, yeah.
This makes you Galligan, but on guard.
And the card art is phenomenal. It's with that shadow in the back. I love it.
The card art is sick. It's probably the coolest card art in this Universal set, but geez. It's a really good card.
Yeah, that's it's like a A++.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Okay, next one is Staff of Cyphers. This is an attack action, range 1, 3 smash, 1 damage. After this attack action, if it was successful, drop to 1 power card.
I like this. It's a cool way of getting draw tech into a deck that has engagement instead of just playing power cards or doing something like that. I like it. I mean, you can still modify the damage. So three hammers is very accurate. It doesn't fit in all decks because, you know, a lot of our power hand wants to be killing stuff, but I think it's a cool way to insert draw tech into your warband with a very attack, very accurate attack action. So,
yeah, I just don't know if you're going to want to make a 1 damage attack action, and maybe drawing a card could be worth it. I definitely think you have to build around it. Like maybe you take Berserker Rage or Great Strength or Punching Up, and then you have a really accurate attack with some extra damage, like you've said, then it's cool. But I feel like it requires a lot of investment to get the kill. And I think when I want an attack action upgrade, I want it to help me kill things.
Yes.
And I don't know if this card is good at that.
Yeah. All points valid. I just really like introducing that mechanic in a different way.
Fair. Yeah, that's cool. Okay, so we're now down to the last four, the Grand Alliance one. So Grand Alliance Order gets Shared Glory. When a friendly fighter's attack action takes an enemy fighter out of action, if this fighter was supporting that fighter, gain 1 spent glory point.
Why? It's an order card, so it's going to be hard to get people in that position for this card to trigger. Like Idoneth is really the only faction I think of that I can set this up regularly with the fish.
Yeah, because then the fish, you put this on the fish, and the fish keeps getting a spend glory point every time you kill something. Because the fish is always supporting the attacker.
Yeah, I'm just making sure we can put an upgrade on the fish.
That's true. I don't think you can have... Oh, yeah. Can the fish have a... That's a good question. I'm reading the fish right now. This fighter economic actions be given upgrades. Yep.
Yeah, so
can't put on the fish. But you could put it on, like... I don't know. I think profiteers have cards that like encourage you to be next to one another. But this is not a good card, I think.
Not for order. It's just
not for order.
Yeah. Like it's
probably why they gave it to order.
Probably.
It's safe. Okay. Well, yeah. Gifted Speed is the Chaos Grand Alliance upgrade mutation. +1 move. Reaction after a friendly fighter's attack action that takes an enemy fighter out of action. If this card is in your hand, give this upgrade to that fighter. It does not cost any glory points. So it's a free great speed if you kill something.
We've seen these before in the last season, and we did not use them. So there was what the card was called or what the series of cards were called, but you know, for +1 move, I don't think after I kill something, I'm putting it on somebody. I don't see it.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. Maybe Godsworn, because like you can just inspire someone for free, but even then, I don't think so.
Yeah, because for Godsworn to get the most out of them, you want them inspired before they go intact, right? So it's, I just don't see it.
Yeah, you're right. I don't think it's good. Next one is the Grand Alliance Death upgrade, Vital Spear. This fighter is a hunter. It's a range 2, 2 fury, 2 damage attack. During this attack, its reaction during the attack action, after the deal damage step, heal one this fighter. Heal one friendly fighter within 3 hex of this fighter instead. If the target has been dealt damage, that will take them out of action.
It's a really, really good attack action upgrade. Range 2. Yes, it's not the most accurate, but 2 damage, and then just like here's a free heal if you deal damage. I don't think I'm playing it, but it is a pretty cool upgrade, and it's the best we've seen in the set so far. It's funny that it's death. I'm not playing it only because of the accuracy, but it's a really cool reaction.
I actually think this is a terrible card.
Really?
Yeah, my opinion, and I kind of like when we disagree, because I'm trying to I like seeing your viewpoint.
Yeah,
like for me, like really bad attack action, not accurate, and I don't think many like Death Warbands care to heal one. Like I think heal is only good when you heal two or more. Like. Goblins got a card one day called Pointy Stick or whatever, where it's like the same attack action, 2 range, 2 fury, 2 damage, and no one ever takes it because it's just so unreliable. Like if this was stock on a fighter, then fine, that's what you have, but I wouldn't pay a glory to give this attack action to somebody personally. Like I would rather just give them the Silent Sword.
Yeah, I agree. Like I'm definitely not putting it in my deck just because of how inaccurate it is, but I look at, you know, Reapers, and you put this on someone, and then you can heal Kanan while he goes around and bops people. But it's definitely edge case, and the accuracy is what ruins it. But
yeah, but it's probably what balances it too. Like I see your point, and I really do appreciate the edge case's explanation. I don't like it. I don't think I'd put this in any death deck. I'm trying to think. Like I don't think I'd run this with Guard, Queen, Briar Queen, Mournflight, Grimwatch, Crimson Court. Yeah, no. I don't know, but I think you're right in that if there is a warband that can probably use it, it is Reapers, because they can make it more accurate because of their ability to support one another.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It could potentially do more damage. No, actually, it's not Natterite, so that
was not Natterite, yeah. But
yeah, the support and then the Kanan stuff is interesting. So, yeah, I can see that if there's a warband to use it, it's that one. But I don't even think they would use it, personally.
They would not, but yeah.
Yeah, okay. Last card, Destruction. Wrecker Scorn. After you flip a feature token this fighter is on, you can remove that feature token from the battlefield if you do break this card.
I mean, it's cool that I'm taking a feature token away from the game, especially, you know, an objective with feature tokens pushed all towards the center of the battlefield. It may have play. I just don't. It's not making my cut with how powerful upgrades are. I don't see where I'm adding this, especially for destruction. Like, why do they care? So. But if there is some reason why we have to get our feature token off the board, it is a cool card.
Yeah, I definitely agree that the utility is really nice, 100%. I don't know if the utility is good enough or warranted at the moment, but that can always change. So yeah, actually, I think I enjoyed the upgrade section the most. What is your favorite upgrade?
My favorite is Shadowkeeper. Like,
yeah,
it's a really good card.
It's insane. Just this fighter's on guard. If it just said that, I'd be like, damn it, it's so good. Then you get like the Galligan special ability too.
Yeah, it's gonna be insert to your upgrade deck now. What about yours?
I like Darkening Stone. I like the fact that you become an assassin. And you're always your perma cover hex. I think that's cool. Offensive and defensive.
Yeah, that is very cool. You combine those two upgrades together, and that's a really, really nasty combination.
I mean, it also helps you score your objectives.
Yeah.
You know, because if this, you know, score if this, if you have two fighters holding cover hexes, well, you only have to have one at that point, right? And then you put this upgrade on and you score it. So.
Yeah, that's a good point too, because like when I was reading the rule book and like getting into to Harrow Deep, you have the, like a feature token, a gloom hex, but it's also a cover hex. You're starting to see now why, like, yes, a feature token is called like five different things, right? So like they were able to take and give someone the benefits of cover without having them saying, oh, they're holding a gloom hex or a feature token. So it's, that's the kind of stuff that I like to see. And there's a lot of keywords in here that I don't know why, like some of the attack action upgrades have keywords that are kind of bolded, like the mutation. Like, what is that? What is, do we know what that is?
I guess it's just like a blessing. It's like a thematic thing, I think. Cause like, it's like, oh, your warband has done like cool stuff, so the gods have blessed you with the mutation, which in this case is you become faster.
Okay. Yeah. You
know, that's what I would guess.
Yeah. I was kind of hopeful because it's bolded that it might trigger something else yet to be seen.
Like poison.
Yeah.
That's a joke.
It could be a trap.
Yeah, that's true. Or a metalith. Or a waypoint. Or whatever, a maneuver that's also bolded. Anywho, I guess that's it for the universal cards. Overall, Jason, what are your thoughts on the universal cards that come with Black Powder's Buccaneers?
I think for the two upgrades alone, that they're worth it. I think that those immediately go into play. And there's some other solid cards in here. And you mentioned it earlier, like there's a couple that will just heave them, but there are a lot of utility throughout the set. But those really good upgrades make up for anything that you'd be heaving away.
I agree. I think there are, so if you're not interested in playing Black Powder's Buccaneers, but you are like an avid championship player, then there are some cards in here that I think you would want to miss. You would not want to miss. Namely Shadowkeeper, right? It's the one that seems really, really good. That being said, if you're a collector or completionist, you're going to buy this anyways. And I think Gorlock's, or Black Powder's Buccaneers, I keep saying Gorlock, but that's his name. Black Powder's Buccaneers, they are like a flavorful and fun warband. Like, I don't think they're going to break the upper echelons of competitive play, but like, you're going to have a good time playing with the cool models and the cool rules in Rivals. So for championship though, I think these cards are pretty solid, and I think you should pick them up because they do offer a lot. Whether it's some, you know, decent objectives to some great upgrades to even like a playful shake, you know, like if you want your Thrafnir to do a little bit more offensive damage, then this is good. So overall, I like the cards. Like we said earlier on the podcast, none of them are like, I mean, like maybe like one or two of them are like bad, but like most of them have utility or can be used. It's whether you deem them those use cases to come up enough to put them in your deck. I think that's the challenge. So,
yeah, and it's nice to get that injection of new cards into championship, just to see where they do go. Because I mean, this is the first, you know, universals that we've gotten in this season from the release, and I'm excited to see that how they're all incorporated into people's decks. You know, Illusionary Maze, like, do we see stagger now? Like, does that card rise to the top in a couple decks and we get to see that mechanic really start to take off? So definitely worth picking up, and we'll be seeing these cards really soon.
Yeah. And to answer the one Patreon question surrounding the universals from Godsworn Gamer, will the universals shake up the meta? Shadowkeeper definitely will. So yes, I think so. And I think actually just being in a cover hex, that one is a really good one too. Encrusted Key and Darkening Stone. I think they're both influential for the meta. So the upgrades definitely will. And maybe some of the Grand Alliance cards might as well. So I guess that does it for this episode, Jason. Any other closing thoughts before we close out?
No, just a lot of content this week. Glad to talk about the universals and, looking forward to the next episode.
Yes, absolutely. Well, I guess that's it for this episode. So if you're a patron supporter, be sure to check out our exclusive end phase episode. We'll be dropping, I think, one or two, because there's like three or four episodes dropping this week. Definitely talking about what warbands we want to play in the post-farm meta and a Buccaneers deck that we're building. So be on the checkout for that. So again, thank you for being a Patreon. If you'd like to join our current patrons, you can check us out at patreon.com/PathToGlory. You can find all of our blog content on PathToGloryPodcast.com. And if you have any feedback, questions, or comments, please let us know on Facebook, Twitter, or Discord at Path to Glory Podcast. And if you have a moment, please rate and subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Spotify, Apple Music, or Apple Podcast, or wherever you listen. And as always, thanks for listening, and we wish you the best of luck on your Path to Glory.
And Shadowkeeper for the win.